Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello there, Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy it is to welcome you to Just a Minute. Time now to introduce you to the four magnificent and talented people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Rachel Paris, Paul Merton, Patterson Joseph, and Julian Clary. Please whoop and cheer for all four. After a top-level board meeting, we've gone with exactly the same format. They need to speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating. So let's see how they fare. And Rachel, we're going to start with you, my lovely. The subject is, that's ancient history. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating on that's ancient history, starting now.
That's ancient history was the slogan of a sitcom that I submitted to the BBC about seven...
Julian.
Repetition of B.
Oh, Julian, it's correct, but so harsh at this early stage.
Criminal.
And it caught you out, sadly. But we may well come back to you. I'd like to hear a bit. But that was a correct challenge. So that means you get the subject, Julian. The subject is, that's ancient history. 52 seconds starts now.
That's ancient history is an expression which means, hasn't time changed? That's ancient history since I got off the bus at Portland Place about 40 minutes ago. It's not an expression that I use very often myself, but it is seeping in to popular usage. I heard a commentator on a sports programme this afternoon use it, referring to Djokovic's game. Apparently, he improved between the first set and the first set. That's...
You challenge.
Repetition of set.
Yes, indeed, a correct challenge. 23 seconds remaining on That's Ancient History, starting now.
As we sit here in the heart of the British Broadcasting Corporation in this magnificent hall, I can think back to the Itmar show that was recorded here in 1946 in front of the King and Queen of Great Britain. This place that we are now in is full of ancient history. The British... Oh, no, I can't say that again. I should have said BBC.
Julian, your challenge.
Yes, repetition.
Yes, indeed, it was repetition. You get the subject back with just 5 seconds remaining. Ooh. So, the crowd have gone sheer panto over the thought of it. That's ancient history, starting now.
It feels like ancient history since I last had the subject in my clutches, but I will persevere...
Julian speaking as the whistle went means he gains the point. And Paul, we are with you now. And your subject is the last time I made a French exit.
They're making up their own jokes at the front.
Yes, they really are. It's also known as the Irish goodbye. You've got 60 seconds on the last time I made a French exit, starting now.
I was on a small passenger plane, 6-seater, leaving Le Touquet, heading back to Lyd Airport, when the pilot said to the passengers, I'm afraid there's a problem with this aircraft. And he said, what do you mean? He said, well, the wheels won't come down. So he had to radio to our destination, which was there on the Kent coast, and he said, look, there's going to be a bit of a problem here. And we said, what do you mean? Said.
Julian, what's your challenge?
Repetition of said.
Yes.
Said, yes. It's with great concern now that I give you the subject, the last time I made a French exit.
Perhaps it's ancient history.
But I can't wait to see what you do with it. 37 seconds starts now.
I've made a French entrance before, but the last time I made a French exit was at Paul Merton's 60th birthday. I searched everywhere for him. Apparently, he was round the back of the bins with Claire Sweeney. Now, I couldn't find him to say my cheery byes. So that is the definition of a French exit. It means you leave without responding to the person that invited you to this soiree in the first place.
Patterson.
It's not a challenge. I just needed that to be explained, so thanks a lot. Genuinely, didn't know what that
was. What I loved, it was a soiree, and yet it involved being round the back of the bins with Claire Sweeney. I think the word soiree has taken a real downturn. That's amazing. So you're challenged within the rules of just a minute?
Yeah, there was no challenge. I was just interested and I wanted to intervene to say, well done, Julian, for explaining to those of us who don't know what a French exit is, what a French exit is.
Yes, it's educational.
This is, yeah.
It is Hello? Rachel.
Well, now I understand the rules of just a minute are just to do that if you want to say something. I want to say hi to Patterson. Hi. I'm having a lovely time.
I feel admonished. I will stop buzzing.
We've got time for social activity within the show. It's all welcome. It's an incorrect challenge within the rules of just a minute, but I do love the fact that you just buzzed into a firm, the succinct way. That, in fact, because you're a new player of the game, I might just give you a bonus point for reminding us that politeness is everything. Don't do it again, because you won't get another one. But Julian, you get to keep the subject, which is the last time I made a French exit. 12 seconds remaining, and the time starts now.
If I were to exit this hall before the end of the next round, that would be the next time I've made a French exit.
Rachel.
Repetition of next?
Yes, there was.
Yes, there was. Next
right
time.
Right at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct challenge, repetition, which means you get the subject 5 seconds. Nice little steal. The last time I made a French exit, starting now.
The last time I made a French exit was after several espresso martinis at my 20th birthday.
You were speaking as the whistle went, Rachel, which means you get the point. And Patterson, we are with you for the next subject. Now, what have we got in store? My perfect first date. What can you tell us about the subject of my perfect first date without hesitating, repeating or deviating? Your time starts now.
Probably not much. My perfect first date would be somewhere very quiet, perhaps a cemetery. You won't be bothered in there. No one's going to try to steal your partner because they're all quietly dead. I would creep into that cemetery at about 7 o'clock to...
Paul.
I didn't think this would be possible on my perfect first date, but it's a repetition of cemetery.
Cemetery, yeah.
Categories. There were
some heavy graveside vibes, weren't there, I would say. But it was a correct challenge. It was a repetition of cemetery, the classic go-to for a first date, which means that Paul has 40 seconds. My perfect first date, starting now.
My perfect first date, I think, may be to go to the cinema, because there you can watch a film together and not worry too much about small talk while you're enjoying the movie. But then afterwards you can say, well, what did you think of that? Did you enjoy it? I did, very much indeed. And so therefore you've got something to talk about rather than just staring at each other. Then you say, shall we go down to the cinema?
What? Rachel.
Repetition of talk.
Yes, indeed. Oh. Small talk, and then you were talking about
small
it, yes.
Small talk, yes.
Correct challenge. Rachel, you get 23 seconds on my perfect first date. Your time starts now.
My perfect first date would be definitely at a stately home, the kind of place that I love to go. I like Chatsworth, which is in the Midlands, and it's a beautiful, white, elaborate, grand house, and the gardens have a maze which you can get lost in. It wasn't built until the 1930s, but I like to imagine myself there in the Regency period.
I found that very illuminating.
Thank you. Yes, it was something of a confessional.
I loved it. It was very evocative. We now know exactly where you'd all go for your first dates. And if, of course, you hear a rustling in a cemetery, that's Patterson enjoying the first flush of love. Right.
They'll all be doing it. You watch.
Rachel, you were speaking as the whistle went, after that glorious evocation of British stately homes. You get the point. And Julian, something for you now. How old do you think I am? You've got 60 seconds on the topic. How old do you think I am? And your time starts now.
How old do you think I am is one of those loaded questions. Be very careful how you respond. It's not unlike, does my bum look big in this? Funnily enough, the answer will change as you get older. As a youth, how old do you think I am? You may say to the bouncer outside a nightclub, hoping that the response will be, you're 21, mate, come on in. Whereas, nowadays, if you ask...
Sorry, where is this nightclub?
Can I just say, had the bouncer had his teeth knocked out?
Yeah. Well, he's a bouncer. It's a rough club.
It is a rough club.
Yeah. Somewhere in the East End.
Yes. Oh.
Sounding like something out of a Thomas Hardy novel.
Thought it sounded northern to me.
Yeah.
It was the man in road.
But he'd come from Wakefield, yeah. Which is where he had his teeth knocked out. Well, we know he's certainly travelled, I would say, yeah. The bouncer. Yeah. He's travelled far and wide and picked up flotsam and jetsam of accents as he's gone. But that is, regardless, it's not within the rules of Just a Minute. So I'm happy for you to carry on, Julian. Let's hear a bit more from the bouncer, who knows 33 seconds on how old do you think I am, starting now.
Nowadays, if I ask people how old do you think I am, they invariably get it wrong by at least a decade, and that is because of my daily enema, which refreshes the skin and takes years off you, a trick I picked up from an actress who I won't name, but used to...
Go on.
There was no reasonable challenge to that, although I did enjoy Paul's interruption. Julian, back with you. How old do you think I am? 16 seconds starting now.
How old do you think I am? Considerably older than when we started this round. I have aged before your very eyes. Tired.
Patterson.
It's a repetition of before.
It is a repetition of before. Mm. Well done.
I'm more terrified than happy now. But...
Well, let's try and bridge that gap and get you at least into a state of mild satisfaction. 9 seconds, a great poach, that. How old do you think I am starting now?
Unfortunately, because of my physiognomy and my physical look, people think that I am much younger than I am. They often ask me to carry things and lift things and run over there and jump over that.
Speaking as the whistle went means he gains the point, which is wonderful, and that's the end of that round. So let's have a look at the all-important scores. Oh, it's a tight-run thing, very tight-run. In third place, we've got Paul. In joint second place, we've got Rachel and Patterson. And just one ahead, we have Mr. Julian Clary. Round two is on us, and Rachel, we're back with you again. The subject is jeans and a nice top. What keen to that? So it's a phrase that often sparks the question, isn't it? But what kind of nice top? We'll find out. Can you speak without hesitation, repetition or deviation on jeans and a nice top? Your time starts now.
Jeans and a nice top was essentially the uniform that girls wore in the late 90s to the early noughties on a night out. There was no fancy glad rags or anything like that. You would wear simply the blue denim articles described and a really, really shiny... Oh. What could the challenge be?
And you'd gone so beautifully for the denim articles as well. Paul.
Really, really reputation.
It really, really was, yes. Correct challenge, well done. 39 seconds remaining. Jeans and a nice top, starting now.
As the audience can see here in the BB... Oh, no. I was wondering if I'd stop before I said the second B, but I didn't.
There was a double B.
There was a double B.
In that lovely top. So, yeah. Julian, what was your challenge?
It was BB.
It was BB. It's slaying everyone today. Julian, it's a correct challenge. 36 seconds remaining on jeans and a nice top. Your time starts now.
When I used to go out back in the day, I always wore jeans and a nice top. A crop top with a bare midriff. That's what the men wanted to see me in. Oh, it was very popular. Jeans and a nice top. I think it's just as well I got this subject, because what would you know about jeans and a nice top, Paul Merton? Nothing. So I shall continue. Oh, I've got a whole selection at home. Glittery ones, sequined items, and my favourite, crochet, where your nipples pop through.
Paul.
76. I'm guessing your age.
Well, that was the year I wore the peephole top.
Crochet, and imagining it had no arms, it was like a sort of vest, crocheted vest.
Yes, if you ever watch Carry On Columbus, in which I appear, I wear that crocheted top.
I'm going to go home and I'm
Gold,
going to watch that.
It is.
Itchy, I imagine.
No.
No.
I don't have any trouble in that department.
Well, I mean, it's still not a correct challenge, so yep. 6 seconds, and it remains with you. Jeans and a nice top starting now.
When it comes to the jeans, I like them ripped and bleached and faded.
Paul.
Well, there was quite a lot of ands.
There were three ands.
You're allowed to say and, aren't you?
No.
You are?
Well, yes, but...
There was... But you are, but there's a lot of them.
Two.
Might have been three.
Three. Well, there was three in 6 seconds.
OK. Have it your way. Yeah.
This feels like the parents are fighting. Yes. What's...
There's 1 second remaining, which means I cannot possibly for Anne's give the correct challenge. It is a correct challenge, so you get the point, Paul, but I do want Julian to see it through because it would feel unnecessarily sort of harsh to do that to you. So with 1 second remaining, please finish this subject. Jeans and a nice top starting now.
And that's four.
Paul, your subject is my rear extension.
Yes.
I and also the controller of the BBC are hoping that you manage to take this the full 60 seconds and not get interrupted by Julian. God. You got 60 seconds on my rear... Not my rear extension, but on my rear extension starting now.
Buttock implants are something that I've considered for quite some time because it says in the adverts you can sit down 3 inches taller than you previously could. If you do it cheaply, you can have it put in with cavity foam insulation, which means you never suffer from rising damp, which I think is a real key thing. When you have a rear extension built onto your house, you have to make sure that the council approve of such an extension. You ask for planning permission, and this is what I did when I built a conservatory...
Patterson, your challenge.
I can't remember. I think it was
repetition of built.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Patterson, a correct challenge. Yes. So that means you get the subject, which is my rear extension. 34 seconds starting now.
My rear extension is sought after the world over. People come to me and they say, Patterson, can I have a look at your rear extension? And I say, yes, you can. Why? Because it's for the whole planet. Everyone should see this extension. What does it look like, you ask yourselves? Let me tell you. It is huge, but it is also blue. It has a silver streak running all the way through it, and right at the bottom is a little pool of water that seeps upwards to help... this. I was begging for some sort of intervention, but nothing came.
Well, the whistle came and you spoke beautifully. You got the point as you completed that subject. Well done. And I want to come, obviously, to your huge extension and look at your gravity-defying pond that moves upwards through the silvery blueness. Do you have planning permission for it? That's what we need to know.
I don't. It's secret. Please tell no one.
Right. Your secret is safe with us. So you were speaking as the whistle went. You get the point and you get the next subject, which is when... I was staying at the White Lotus. So you've made it back from that infamous fictional hotel chain alive, so that is something. Now you've got 60 seconds on the subject. When I was staying at the White Lotus, your time starts now.
When I was staying at the White Lotus is the title of my memoirs. Why? Because the White Lotus is a public house in Scotland, in Edinburgh to be precise. My first sojourn to the north, beyond Carlisle, was to Edinburgh in 1995.
Rachel.
Repetition of Edinburgh?
Yes, repetition of Edinburgh.
Good, yes, thank you.
You know you've really cracked a light entertainment format when someone collapses backwards on their chair, sweating, going, make it end. Correct challenge, Rachel. You've got the subject. When I was staying at the White Lotus, 40 seconds starting now.
When I was staying at the White Lotus 17 years ago, I noticed several things were amiss. There was a dead body in the swimming pool. That was the first item I noticed that should not have been included in the itinerary of the holiday.
Julian.
She said notice twice.
She did say notice twice. I was transported by that.
Thank you.
I am
trained.
I sense your training. It's both very evocative and also quite intimidating up close. That level of training.
That's what I put on my dating profile.
24 seconds is on the clock for you, Julian. So just to remind you, the subject is when I was staying at the White Lotus, starting now.
When I was staying at the White Lotus, I got into a bit of trouble at the bar. I was just glancing around and this man came over and said, what do you think you're looking at? I'm just passing my eye across the decor. Come here and say that. Well, I've never been so insulted in all my life, but you have to watch out.
This bloke gets about a bit.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
I think he was in the last series as well.
He was. He featured quite heavily in the last series. It's a great challenge. I enjoyed it, Paul, but it's not within the rules of Just a Minute, which means we have just 3 seconds to clear up the mystery of the White Lotus. And to be fair, we can't tell if he's either hesitating or repeating or deviating because it's just a blizzard of vowels from an unknown place in the British Isles. 3 seconds, Julian, starting now.
Anyway, to cut a long story short, he invited me back to look at his extension, and I said...
You were speaking as the whistle went, which means you get the point, Julian, and you also get the next subject, which is... I'm in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins. It's true as well. Well, without hesitating, repeating, deviating, or giving away any official secrets, I'm in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
I'm in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins because we were working together in Taskmaster several seasons ago. The problem I have is there are two Sues in that group, Susan Perkins and Sue Wacoma. I never know who the message is from. So I have to look at the little photograph that comes along it. Generally speaking, these second Sue is more interesting.
Rachel?
I feel like I might have gone against the rules here, but repetition of Sue?
It's on the card.
It's on the card.
Yes. So you can repeat what's on the card.
Oh, yes, sorry.
But yes, I've made that mistake myself. So, 37 seconds, incorrect challenge. You get to carry on. I'm in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins. Julian, starting now.
I'm still in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins. It's gone more or less dormant. You never say anything, don't write, put amusing photos up. What's the matter with you? Have you gone off me, Sue Perkins? Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm a very feeble kind of friend to have in that I don't respond myself unless I feel the urge. What with my enemas and all the rest of the things that I'm doing in my life, there just isn't time. But nevertheless, I remain in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins, and I'm glancing over to see if the whistle is anywhere near being used, but no.
Patterson, you challenged.
I think that's deviation.
It is deviation. It is a bit. You were going so beautifully, and then you just name-checked the time, and I'm going to give that to you. It's a correct challenge. Well done. OK, 4 seconds. Bring it home. I'm in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins, starting now.
I'm in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins would be something I'd long to say. I'm not in a WhatsApp group with Sue Perkins.
Well done, Patterson. Speaking as the whistle went means you get to the point and we reach the end of that round. So let's have a look where we're at. Oh, it's still very closely bunched. In joint third position, we've got Rachel and Paul. In second place, we've got Patterson. And just 1 point ahead of Patterson, Julian Clary. And we're now approaching the final round. Rachel.
Yes.
We move now from the gutter, from the enemas, from WhatsApp groups in which I feature, to your subject, which is Emily Bronte.
Emily Bronte.
Emily Bronte. Let's see what heights you can reach with this. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating on Emily Bronte, starting now?
Emily Bronte was an author with sisters and a brother called Branwell, who was born in the 19th century. She published Wuthering Heights, famously, and under the pseudonym Bell was the surname, and the first I can't remember.
Paul.
Well, there was a bit of hesitation, I thought.
There was a bit of hesitation, I think, searching for the name of the... But I'll give you a point for a correct challenge, but I feel there's real detail and depth of knowledge waiting to be uncovered. So you get the point, it was that she was winding down, but I want to hear a little bit more, mainly because when I was studying for my degree, I barely turned up to a lecture, so this is really good learning for me now. I'm sitting and I'm taking note. 39 seconds, it stays with you, Rachel. Emily Bronte, starting now.
Emily Bronte was the name of a rabbit that I owned when I was 6 years old. She was black and white and furry and adorable. I was already a fan of the author, an intellectual at that tender age. Yes, I called her Emily Bronte and I petted her every day. And when she passed away from an eye infection, this bit's true, I was very upset indeed and I had to have another pet of a similar genus.
Julian.
Two pets.
Fair. I've got petted and pets. Were they two?
Still.
Well, the audience have been stunned into a kind of silence, which, frankly, is less than helpful, guys. But I got petted and pet. Where did you hear the first pet?
I thought she had a pet rabbit.
Oh, now you're vocal. Yeah. Now you're vocal. Correct challenge there, Julian. Well done. A double pet. An eye infection of all the things to go from.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stinks of negligence to me, but I'm not going to go there right now. I don't want to bring up the old wounds, but...
What I'm bringing to this show is animal welfare awareness and tragedy.
Yes. And scant on Emily Bronte, and I was looking to you for some much-missed...
Ellis Bell!
Do you know what? I'm going to give you a point for that, just so that we are all reminded that we can learn things at any point in our life. So, correct challenge, Julian, 13 seconds on Emily Bronte starting now.
At last, a subject on which I can let rip. Emily Bronte was a fragile flower of a woman living in the Yorkshire moors. And do you know, when she died, the coffin was only 14 inches wide, because that's how...
Professor Julian Clary, honestly, everything you're saying is mind-blowing for me.
Everything?
Yes.
So she was that... She was a tiny little thing.
Well, she was very ill.
Yeah.
People in coffins usually are.
Would you have liked to have seen this coffin on a first date?
I might have got...
That certainly would have been a turn-on.
Yeah.
I might have got the measurements wrong, which is not like me.
What did you say, 14?
Deviation. Got the measurements wrong.
I've got lots of supplemental questions now. So they didn't have a standard-sized coffin. They literally made them to measure according.
They did,
I suppose,
yes.
You save wood, don't
Wouldn't
you?
Wouldn't want to waste the wood.
No.
It's not my motto.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4. What Emily Bronte would have wanted. So, well done, Julian. You were speaking again as the whistle went, means he gets the point. And let's have a look at our final scores. It's been pretty close run all the way through, and now it's no exception. In joint second place, we've got Rachel, Paul and Patterson, but streaking ahead, it's Julian Clary. And there, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, thank you so much to our incredible players of the game today, Rachel Paris, Paul Merton, Patterson Joseph and Julian Clary. We are indebted to both Ian Messiter and the wonderful Nicholas Parsons. And we also thank Katie Baum for blowing her whistle in my lug hole so delicately. The producer was Georgia Keating, and this was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you so much for listening. And please do join us next time we all play Just a Minute.